May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Last month, I was at St. James's Church in Notting Hill in London. It sits in the shadow of Grenfell Tower. On the 14th of June 2017, a high-rise fire broke out in the 24-storey Grenfell Tower block of flats in North Kensington. At 0054 British Summer Time, and it burned for 60 hours. 70 people died at the scene, and 2 people died later in hospital. More than 70 people were injured, and 223 escaped. In the midst of the devastation, it was natural for many people to ask where God was. And I'm sure it is a question that is being asked by many this morning, following the horrific knife attack which occurred on a train yesterday bound for London. And we hold all those involved in our prayers this morning. St. James's Church, along with many other churches and faith groups in London, were at the heart of the response to the fire at Grenfell Tower, and they have continued to support the community in its aftermath. I was at St. James's Church last month to dedicate and bless a new window, a window of the baptistry by Mark Caslett. As visual prayers in colour and light, they speak to us of the cleansing waters of Christ's baptism and the living water offered to the woman of Samaria, moments of revelation, renewal, and radical welcome. The windows also bear the memory of Grenfell Tower, reflected in the waters of Jordan, holding before us the call to justice, healing, and truth. And for the first time at St. James's Church, Christ is portrayed in stained glass as a man of colour, mirroring the diversity of the people that he came to save and that of that community today. Placed above the font, the windows invite us to remember our own baptism, when we were named as God's beloved and washed in the promise of new life. The waters of the Jordan flow here, mingled with the waters of the font and with the tears and the memory of that community. In the window behind the figure of Christ stands Grenfell Tower, reflected in Jordan's stream. The river of life is in conversation with the river of grief. This is sacred art that does not turn its face from suffering. The tower, a sign of loss, stands in this window as part of our story, a story of God's love. For in the grief and messiness of the world, God is there. He is there tenderly telling us that he is with us and that he loves us. The power of the incarnation is God's empathetic movement into the suffering of the world in order to share in our suffering, creating possibilities even within what seems to be the most hopeless situation. The windows at St. James's Church echo the covenant made to Noah in our reading this morning, a covenant between you and me and every living creature that is with us and for all generations past and to come. It is a covenant that is a solemn and mutually binding commitment framed by an understanding of love that is about a commitment to the other party rather than self-fulfillment. It is made by God's act of salvation for us, and we enter into it when we respond. God's commitment of love to us has been there since the dawn of creation, a promise which he has kept and continues to keep. It's tempting to think that the promise is between God and me as an individual, but God has bigger purposes. God uses his covenant to make and establish us as a people. We are to be a community of people radically committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church was never meant to be an accidental aggregation of those who coincidentally turned up in the same building on a Sunday. God made human beings to live in community and not in isolation. He calls us to be the light of the world together. He calls us to show how it is possible to live in committed love together in a society where breakups, unforgiveness, prejudice, and other diseases ravage people all the time. At the River Jordan, Jesus wet and standing in the water with his feet in the mud, and the heavens opened, and a voice was heard saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Those words were not only for Jesus, but for each one of us. They echo over every baptism and every life that longs to be known. They are words for us, but also for our communities. You are mine, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. I am conscious that we meet at a turbulent time in the life of our world. But the covenant made to Noah by God, repeated to Moses and to us on the cross, means that we are a people of hope. Now, hope is not about optimism. It is a conviction, confirming and concerning what God did in the past through Jesus Christ, which points to a future, but which leaps into our present in such a way that we can feel secure in the here and now, sure that God will save us, that the best is yet to come, and that his kingdom of justice and peace will triumph. The power of the incarnation, God's empathic movement into a suffering world, in order to share in our suffering, creating possibilities of hope, even in the most hopeless situations. So it is on this solid ground of generosity that we are able to respond to God's call to freely and wholeheartedly yield to all things to God's pleasure and disposal, to be employed or laid aside, to be exalted or brought low, to be full, empty, to have all things and to have nothing. For we should know that we are named, we are known, and we are held by the Creator, whose radical hospitality and healing love are infinite and eternal. The one who tells us through the prophet Isaiah, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine," tells us that when we pass through the waters, he will be with us. When we go through the rivers, we will not be overwhelmed. When we walk through fire, we will not be burned. The flames shall not consume us. For he is the Lord our God, the Holy One of Israel, our Saviour, who has called us by name and has redeemed us. Amen.